This is going to be
fantastic. We've got till whenever loop up till nine, but till. Whenever loop up till nine. Good evening, good morning, good whatever. This is conversation number 8 on the number nine. And we've got the wonderful Dave J coming in to discuss number 9. So, hi, Dave. How are you?
Hi, cheers. Good to hear you. Good to hear you. Speaking of, since you kind of did the number 9 thing coming in with the echo, and I wanted to go not to listen to that monstrosity, but to tell you about the lyrics. If you look at the, just to think about what we're talking about, the idea of 9. So then first go back to then the idea of 9. So then 9 is the idol. It's what one is going to play with. So it's, if you can imagine what a 9 looks like, if now you can then enlarge that and stand up against it and look at it, that 9, that idol, is what you are going to dance or play with. So it's either going to be the control or the control with 2 L's, like the troll, the truth complete.
Control.
Yeah, the control. So it's going to be the con that's trolling you, you know, that's keeping you dancing around. It's either going to be a truth complete or it's going to be a lie in flux. Because a lie needs, remember I told you that a truth doesn't need you to exist, it just is. A lie then requires constant feeding of details to keep it inflated, like a hot air balloon. You need to keep, the person needs to keep consuming the latest news in order to keep that story elevated in their mind.
That's interesting.
Right. Yeah. So then that now that's the 9. So now from when we started with 1, the idea remember with the old priest, when the young priest, remember on the episode where I said that he was talking about manifesting. He's like, no, it is only 1. So now that 1 has stood up and it has become the 9, or what you see is a 9. And that represents what I just told you is the idol. Did you see that little clip I sent you? I made with the slide. With the music note and how when you have the quarter note that is turned to the side, it looks like a dripping syringe.
Right? Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, note is a 9 as well, isn't it? It's an upside down 9.
Yeah. Well, and then it's also a B. It's also a D. It depends on how you move that little drip at the bottom and which way you orient it. Do you see how you can do that? Now, if you take a direct mirror reflection, you can have the 9, and now you do a mirror reflection. Guess what you have? You have 2 balls between 2 in a chute. Do you know? And if you lie it sideways, it looks like you have 2 balls there, or an 8. You pushed them together. That's the idea of the contained detail. I've told you that before. If you put 4 of those, if you reflect that, then that becomes, and God said, let there be light, let there. So if you have let, which is the idea of dalet, mind lets, let there is an exact position right there. Let there be is the idea of two.
Dalet the door.
Dalet the door. Is, is, And then let there be light is the idea of the one. So you see that just even in that statement is the manifestation of something to stand idle before you.
Would that be why the media companies all seem to be Channel 9, seems to be one of their favorite. Channel 9 is everywhere. And even in Australia, our first commercial channel wasn't 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It was number 9. Is that because it's important to get that number in front of you to swallow lies and
the 9 is simply if you go to it's the point of idolization. It's where you're going to have to collapse. You either engage with it 911 or you don't engage 910. So this is the point of, this is where you decide that that shiny object that you glimpsed, 1, 2, 3, picked it up, 4, 5, 6, brought it as a present, 7, brought it to mind, 8, you're observing the details. Now what? What are you going to do? Are you going to walk another step with it, or are you going to drop it and walk away? This is that point. So then let's just stop time at this point. And stop it, because if you continue this, if you push the 9 over, it becomes the 6, and you start to go into rotation. So before we move into rotation, which we're going to do in a minute, let's just hold it at the 9 position and observe it. All right. So then if you look at the number 9 song by the so-called Beatles, I want to just go to something different, which is looking at the idea of what's in the song, you know, or the actual so-called details, right?
It's the number 9 on the White album you're talking about, yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, so then you have the word number is mentioned 45 times. 4 + 5 = 9. Nine. All right. Now, the word, this is interesting about the number 9, because remember, you have to connect to the detail. The number 9 is mentioned 44 times. Remember, 44 is 8. The idea of the idea of the door before the door, or to be or not to be.
To be,
2, 2, or not 2, 2, 4 or 4, this door or that door. So you see the 9 is then mentioned 44 times. This is where you might find this an interesting point, is that this whole story, or what I'm going to tell you about the 9, is the ultimate gate. So then if it's a hoax or a lie story, it's an obvious gate, because no lie becomes the truth. So then if you notice that there's 3 words that is mentioned 5 times each in that song, all hold line. Now, if you're familiar with Navy terms, holding the line means that when you tie up a boat to the cleat and you hold all lines, meaning that everyone holds pressure. You don't take any in, you don't let any out. You hold it until the weight balances. So then you see how this story, it's much more than what's being put out. It's easier to read it, because then it doesn't run from you. You know, it's not being sung to you. If you read something, you're able to see what the spell is written in written form. It's like, just like a recipe. So you, and I can go on and on with this so-called number 9 thing, but that just lets you know that it's much more than what's been kind of shown to you on the surface. It's just kind of an annoying song, which I was telling you early before we came on, that what makes it annoying is that it runs that first part through your head, number 9, and it the way that they do the audio, it shoots through your head from one side of your head to the other.
It's
ridiculous.
It's like a sampling, an early, very, very early sampling of just multiple sounds, but with the number 9 that keeps coming back.
So we talked then about the actual real ideas, which were in what we just talked about. So it's the idea of the numbers matching the numbers, just in a way that's beyond the idea of simple construction. So this goes into the idea of a formed or a shared matrix, meaning that there are certain individuals who show allegiance, who willful servitude, And I'll get to this later when we talk about a few movies. But it goes back to the idea of Ruth and being a willful servant. So then, this, depending on which mind, from the Bible. Yeah. So it's the idea of being a willful servant. And now that, are you willful to this kingdom or to that kingdom? Because you're looking at the idea of, because we're at the 9 and looking at the idea of the 10, or is that input output going to be accepted? And if you hold that up to the so-called Kabbalah tree of life, you're going to see that that's the bottom of the fork. That's the last two little balls. The 9 and then the 10. That's the idea of where one's mind is, the foundation of one's mind into the ground.
Yep.
Do you see? Everything else is nothing more than a tuning fork at that point. Do you see that? It's a double and tuning fork. So then I wanted to.
Interesting yeah. that four and fork are very, you know, you got, we're talking about the door and the dullet and four and fork and tuning fork, you know, there's a bit of a there there, I would say, yeah?
Absolutely, of course, when it sounds like it, it is it.
It is it,
So just like
and
with
it's
nine.
Four with a K on the end, four with a K, 11 on the end, there you go.
Yeah, So just like, so when you're speaking about words like nine, for example, in the German, so nine has the
nine.
Has the tone, and it also has a negative tone if you say it like that. However, it also can it can also be described as having to do with grace or favor. So again, there's that idea of the back and the forth, the 6 and the 9, the idea of which side of the reflection you're looking at. Because you remember, the 8 or the details is nothing more than a circle twisted.
Or two trees put together.
Yeah, but just think of it this way, a circle twisted. You see how it's not actually...
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You,
okay.
You see that's that?
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Now interesting. You have to remember that, because this whole thought is one piece, right? So this is, so we've been working from the idea of nothing to nine now. So that's all one piece. So if you look at the number 9, it's just a circle with a line on it. It's the IO. That's the IO right in front of you.
Yeah.
It's hidden right. It's right in plain sight. So then, what happens to that 9 if it gets pushed over into time? It gets twisted and it resembles the 6, or what becomes 6-9, or the idea of cancer, or what is then eating or clawing or crabbing at you. If you are of the world, it's going to be a constant nuisance to you, or it's going to be eating at you, at your flesh. It's the idea of the crab or the 69 idea.
Well, 69 is basically 2 9s or 2 6s back to back.
Well, you have to look at it directly one way. You can't, or you shouldn't, look at everything all at once unless you're going to go ahead and describe each step you're taking. So in this example, it's the 9 pushed over into 6, stood up unto 9 over into 6. Yes, a 6 can represent that, but I'm talking about forward momentum into this idea, because if you then fold the 6 over the 9 over the 6, if that goes into motion, what's it going to look like visually to you after it gets up to speed? It's going to look like an 8 or a flower. So like a flower. So then if you look at the what's called Maxwell's
Silver Hammer?
It's called Maxwell's Demon. It's a thought project.
So there's another Beatles reference I just thought you were about to say.
Yeah, it's a thought idea it's called Maxwell's Demon. It's a thought idea that if you have it, do you remember the 7 segment electric part I told you about that can then display all the numbers, but it looks like 2 squares or an 8?
Yes.
So now lay that on its side and where that center line is, because remember I told you in the in pictograph that the eight is represented as a three-runged ladder. So then if you can see that laying there and there's a little gate in the center, Maxwell's demon states that if one side or the other gets too hot or too cold, that a gate is opened and an equalization.
Just to go back on Maxwell's demon, where does this come from? Is this electrical term?
No, it comes from a thought experiment. It's just a story that's put out in the late 1800s by a guy named James Clerk Maxwell. And now just remember the idea of Maxwell, max power, well, or the idea. So this is just another character. So this is really just a way of introducing an idea. All right. And it's also that the guy who calls himself Lord Kelvin would later call it a demon. All right.
Interesting.
Now, let me tell you what this idea is. What is this demon they're talking about? The demon then is the unseen force. I've already told you about what a computer demon is. It's a program that can run without the interaction of the user, meaning it will self-execute. This demon then is the idea of in, let's take it to the idea of culture or society at large. What then is the balance? The left and right, the red and the blue. You see obvious gaslighting in so-called news of one side or the other. And then the demon is the power that regulates that back and forth. It's the what opens the gate. So it allows something to go right for a week. It then gates that and lets it slide back left for 3 days. It then neutralizes or leave the gate. It leaves the gate closed so that both sides can homogenize, because both sides together are going to start to pick off the high fruit and the low fruit within their own group. So they'll fight amongst themselves. Once then that has ceased, the gate's opened again. And then a certain amount of news is put out on one way or the other, whichever side
news cycle,
has more,
the news cycle.
So whichever side has more heat is going to be dissipated. So that side is going to then be put against, right? They'll be put on the defensive. So then you have this whole idea of men and women fighting battles they have nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Through their entire life. They literally live their entire life without a real, true thought. And then they simply dissipate. That's it.
Well, that's how we've got to where we've got with society is, you know, we've been baffled and tied up with these techniques. But what you're explaining is how they're using them. And number nine is very crucial to this whole thing.
Well, let's just look at the number nine, also look what it looks like. It also looks like if you twisted a D or a B, or the idea of the quarter note, which is more important, the quarter note music or what the quarter note or what with the little hole in the center, which becomes the half note, or what's called the crotchet. Now, the idea of a crotchet, besides like thinking of a stick, is just a perverse or unfounded belief or notion. So that's the idea of these false tones being put out, because it's through music, it's through the tone of voice, right? So even within the physical name of this crotchet. This quarter note, there's crotchet. And it's right there. It tells you about
the Christmas Carol. One of the characters in that is Cratchit or Crotchet. It's very similar.
So that we were talking about. That's he's the guy who works for Scrooge. He works at the front office, and then he has the his name's Bob Cratchit, and he has the little Tiny Tim, the seventh son. Remember, yep. The seventh son, and he's on. Mm-hmm. Tiny Tim is also holding the little cane, which even if you think of a cane, you think of it's a one or a two side. It's a seven or two sevens put together. Just by the way that the old cane was shown in the 1870 Fred Bernard art piece that I had showed you during that time, which was made for the release after the novel. Which was yeah. out in 1843. So,
interesting. Also, the number nine, I think in numerology, it signifies the end or a new beginning.
Well, that's the six. Yeah, the end, the nine, do you stop and drop it, or does it get pushed over into that's time right. six okay. and become there a new go. Beginning? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
So that's straight out there. That's the basic dummy for dummies of numerology. Yeah. And if you're going to be what you're saying, it's take it or leave it, or follow it.
Well, it's like if you can get to the end or get to the point of the statement right now in four or five words, do it. Otherwise, people are going to have you running through a bunch of different characters in Roman and Greek mythology that wrap back around, you know, Uranus and everything else. and so then you're like, okay, and then what's the point? Oh, the point is that it's a concern not to worry about. Thank you. That helps. That gets to the point. So I was wanting to talk to you about the now some movies that introduce the idea.
I'm a willing listener here. Willing listener.
Now, have you ever seen The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp?
I have.
Okay, well, and that's a Roman Polanski, directed by Roman Polanski. And if you remember, that's the Joker who was then, who had, of course, hoaxes.
Rosemary's Baby.
He had some hoaxes wrapped around him, but he also has the idea of the Holocaust. He claims the Holocaust identity. Therefore, he's also not only a character in the Hollywood side or pushing certain ideas, especially things with youth. He's also pushing the idea of the Krakow ghetto and nonsense like that. So he's a multiple use idiot. However, some of the within The Ninth Gate, it's not extraordinary as far as a film goes. However, the character that Depp plays, I think it was at least interesting in the film.
He's a book hunter.
Yeah, he's a book hunter, and he's looking. Yeah, and he's commissioned to collect a novel.
Frank Langella's. Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking for a grimoire. Is what it works out being, and it's a made up grimoire. However, it ties back to what's called the Grand Grimoire, and that's an actual.
Do you want to explain for the listeners a grimoire?
A grimoire is just a book of spells or of incantations or of prayer. Which are dealing with magic specifically, and how to conjure, and also dealing with spirits. And you will also notice within these grimoires, is when you read them, that they are expressly acting and asking, even though they should not be, they're asking for the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ in their travels. Because they know where the true where protection is. However, they're messing in areas that they've been told not to mess in. And if you don't know Christ, the demon's going to look at you and you say, you know, I know him and I know him and I know him and I know the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't know you. And then you'll be out of there. That's the idea. That's when you hear people who have bad trips. Things like this is because these people, they take these different, whether it be shrooms or whatever else, they take it without a destination in mind. If you're just go into that type of situation,
like getting on a bus and a random bus and expecting to get to your house, never going to work.
Yeah, you have to have a destination in mind, and you have to go with your Lord. You have to go with who brought you here. And so if when I go, especially if I do shrooms, it's quite an amazing experience, and it's always
a mental note. Yeah. We'll just end. Yeah. We'll talk about shrooms.
Yeah. Oh,
when
there you
we,
go. Yeah.
Finish the movies. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So let's there's not
keep movies
is so. The long story short on the ninth gate is that they're looking for some illustrations, nine illustrations, and there are three books that they need, or grimoires, and each one has three of the folios that they need that say LCF at the bottom or the initials LCF, which were supposed to have been pinned by Lucifer. Yeah. So then you'll notice then that, so that goes through. And of course that what happens and what was the reason why the Balkan guy, his last name was Balkan. Why he reminds you of a Russian, or the idea of the bad Russian Balkan. He's looking for this to conjure a demon, is what his point is. That's the whole point of that whole so-called movie. And now I was wanting to then talk about nine.
Just to summarize, it wasn't a bad movie. I thought, I'm not a big fan of Depp. I think he's a bit creepy. That's the way I would use it. But
right.
Frank Langella was good in it, or Langella. I don't know how you say it, but it was a good. I thought it was a good movie, well worth watching. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're not going to get anything out of it to life saving, but it's an entertaining film. So
I cut it into two. I liked the first half. The second half, not so much. Once they start heading to the castle, like the ruins, It just becomes almost like weird science.
You're missing, there's always a point to a movie, but if you take the what they're offering and then move on,
you don't need
to stay to the end. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. And your next film.
And now I wanted to go into William Peter Blatty, which if we go back to the Exorcist movie, this is going to be the ninth configuration, which was originally known as Twinkle Twinkle Killer Kane. Killer Kane. Do you notice it's spelled with K, but the idea of Kane is the idea of Kane from of course the Bible, specifically at this point in time, Genesis 4 and that idea. So then he has what he called the Trilogy of Faith, which was The Exorcist, The Exorcist 3, and the ninth configuration. He left out Exorcist 2, which Exorcist 2 was not bad. I liked Exorcist 2. Yeah, it was more of the idea of if you didn't know the references, you wouldn't have gotten it. So then Exorcist 3 jumped back to the original story characters, even with some cameos from the original.
And Richard Burton, I think.
Yeah. So a few interesting Easter eggs, they're called, from the ninth configuration is, if you remember The Exorcist, where you had Reagan go downstairs and tell the astronaut that he wasn't going to make it.
He's going to die up there.
Yeah, that astronaut shows up at the asylum in the ninth configuration. Ooh. Because the reason was he was on the pad. This is the expanded story. He's on the pad. He goes nuts. They have to drag him out, blah, blah, blah. So then that's the expanded story kind of beyond the movie. Now, so that's really kind of the most, or I found the most interesting connection between those. Otherwise, that's another movie that I find to be cut in half. The first part is,
was there a movie of the ninth configuration, or was it just a book? Because I haven't seen it.
It's a movie, both. It's Twinkle Twinkle Killer Kane is the book.
Yeah.
the novel, the 1966 novel, the Ninth Configuration is the actual so-called movie.
They seem to put a lot of stuff out in 1966. As Rosemary's Baby came out in 1966
It came out in 68.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I think they shot it. They started. Okay,
yeah. Well, the reason it came out in 68 is because the and here's the real. I was going to actually get that, so we might as well get to that. Is that it won at the 41st Academy Award, which had no host. It was on April 14th, 1969. It had no host. And the last time they had no host was on the 20th Academy Awards. So it's the idea of no host means that you're going to introduce a power. So then what you're going to find out is that the winner of the best supporting actress that year was Ruth Gordon. Now, remember I told you that Ruth goes back to willing servitude, and Ruth Gordon, the idea of the G.
She was the old witch next door.
She was Minnie Castevet.
That's right.
Now Minnie Castevet plays the, she plays the mold. She's the one who kind of sets the mark, right? Do you remember that Minnie? She's the one who first makes contact, who first invites. She comes over and she starts looking at the labels, you know, looking at the prices, the label. Oh, look at this couch. How much does this go for? So she's real nosy. So she introduces herself, or she injects herself into the life of Rosemary. Mm-hmm. Now she's Minnie Castevet. Now you'll find out what's interesting about the word usage in this and how they play around is that Guy Woodhouse, because it's Rosemary Woodhouse and Guy Woodhouse, that's the couple.
Guy's the aspiring actor.
Yeah. So Guy Woodhouse, his real name is John Castevets. Castevets. It's Castevets. Which is different than Castevet, which the idea of Roman and Minnie, Roman being the idea of the vampire, really. Castevet, which is Castevet. So that it's a different spelling, but it's quite interesting. Now, Roman Castevet was played by, the winner is, Sydney Blackmar.
Yeah.
What's interesting about Sidney Blackmore is that as playing Roman Castevet, he plays the character that molds Guy Woodhouse. If you notice in a lot of the scenes, they'll be in the back of the scene and they'll be huddled in the back of the scene. That's because he's coaching him. He's acting like a psychologist or a psychiatrist.
This is a really powerful movie, and I do recommend people watch it. There's a lot of stuff in that movie. Keep going.
I wanted to then talk about the winner is Sydney.
The winner is Sydney.
Yeah. And how it ties in. This one's for Joel. I thought of Joel when I was like, wait, that ties in with that. The MASH 4077. So you have 4 plus 7 plus 7 is 18 is 9. So then the MASH 4077, who was the psychiatrist that would come to the base? His name was Sydney. Yeah.
Sydney, he was too. The actor's name is Sydney, wasn't it?
And then do you remember that he was also in Omen 2?
He was. Yeah, no, very interesting you should mention that, because it's very... He's one of those actors that just pops up in interesting roles.
Yeah, his so-called role, what was his first role was, or his one of his breakout roles was he played a almost like a snake oil salesman out in the Old West. He was playing like a Jesus character.
And, what movie was that?
What was he? His name's Alan Arbus. So he would have been playing. He would have been playing in what was called Greaser's Palace in 1972. He played Jesse. Jesse, get it? Jesus, Jesse.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. So
interesting. Very interesting, Dave. Very interesting. Because this is my thing. I love the pop culture, but there's so many deep layers to go down
Well, that's the idea of nine, though, and that this is the injection. This is the point. This is the idle. This is what, when I say idle, it's talking about time. It's a running engine. It's idling. So we're talking about this, but we're going to stick this nine in and show you how far these little rabbit holes can go, because I'm not even done with this guy.
He's done.
Sydney, now you see a shared idea of a mindset through the idea of Sydney. Now, even though the spelling for the city there is Sydney, right?
And yeah, then for
the name is Sidney. So it's the idea of the sound, which we were talking about earlier. So the 4077, just like Joel, 4 7 plus 7 plus 7, 18 or 9. So then he also played in in Omen 2 as, you remember, he was the Willing, the Ruth character, henchman, because he has a dark little side thing going on that most people don't pay attention, but he's a bit of a pervert. But his name is Pissarion, which is very strange. It's a strange name. And when they're on the golf cart driving, and they're going past the water, because remember, water is the idea of wa or six, or the idea of what's to come. And he says that the little curly haired joker in the back looks like Bobby Brady's brother. Yeah, he goes, he goes that the future's in famine, and the old guy's all aghast. He's like, oh my goodness, you know, he's fainting.
Yeah.
Good spotting, man. Yeah, so this guy, he says, the thorn character, this is the one in two. So he's before he gets taken off the script.
You're talking about Thorn
Industries.
Thorn Industries from the Omen movie.
Yeah, because this is the company that Damien's going to take over in Omen 3 and become the Antichrist and run the world. So the idea of this Pissarion character is he's the chief scientist, and they're working on fertilizers to then go buy land cheap off of, you know, so-called third world and grow, you know, crops in the desert. So it's that same old idea that's been tried and blah blah blah. But the idea about Pissarion is interesting, because it has a Spanish ring to it, that they shall not pass. Or it's the idea of a gatekeeper, right? So then this is the idea of a Karen, the Charon, the idea of the keeper of the river Styx, meaning
Karen's oval. Yeah. And I'll just have to side type that we've had that name and reintroduced big time in the media over the COVID thing with Karens.
Yeah,
but it goes back to the Charon's oval, which is the idea of the river Styx, the person that takes the coin of the dead and places it in your mouth. Mm. Do you swallow it, or do you bite it, or what? Who's to know?
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's the whole thing. That's the one or the zero. Do you 1-1-9-1-1 back into the loop and spend time with the idol, or do you drop it, zero, let it go?
And I'll just tie it in. I'm talking to the people out there. When you hear Bitcoin, every time you hear that word Bitcoin, it's Bitcoin. It's going what Dave's talking about right now. You're going into the land of the dead. The land of the dead.
Yeah. So we talked about the ninth configuration and its tie-in with Exorcist, because we talked about the Exorcist at the beginning. There's the idea also within the Exorcist of the duality, which I meant to talk about at the time, but I'll just recover now.
Cover everything you've comes out of your head.
Yeah.
Put it in there. It's good.
I was going to say, at the very beginning, when you have the old priest in the desert, he's digging. He finds the Saint Joseph medal and the statue of Pazuzu together. Sometimes it's confused with the Saint Christopher medal.
It is Saint Joseph.
Yeah, Saint Joseph. So that's
Jesus across the water.
Yeah. So then that's the idea of you have it within the Catholics are the laity of the Jew. So then within their their mythology. They have 14 holy helpers, if you can believe it. Now, if you've ever seen some of their the so-called Catholic buildings, you'll see these empty spaces where it looks like an idol should be setting. Like there's a little stage, but there is no statue there.
And I was in one last week, be told.
Yeah. So then there's 14 so-called, that would be the Saint Christopher, the Saint Joseph, all the different saints of this, that, the other thing. So then that's the idea of the tie-in with the 14 idea. So,
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, as far as we got rid of that. I was going to say I talked to you about Maxwell's demon and how that regulates the idea. I wanted to also kind of go those that look at tarot cards. Because tarot starts at zero and moves up. So you actually have, so the ninth trump would be the hermit. And then I showed you that earlier, that like if you can picture a nine standing there or an old man holding up a lamp, you know, yep. Basically
Led Zeppelin 4, mm-hmm. Open the cover up and that's what's on
yep.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That would be then, that's the idea of contemplation or time spent with, right? Yeah. Because the previous card, which is then going to be the idea of the consumption of the detail, is what's called strength, but it's represented by a lion being subdued by a woman in a dress with an infinity loop above her head, or an eight.
Yep.
Do you see?
Yep.
Yeah. So then you're held down by the female spirit or the spirit of Satan, the spiritual homosexual spirit. That's what that actually means. It's not a physical body thing. It's a spiritual idea. It's the idea of switching or flopping between kingdoms or flopping between states, serving two masters, thinking you can be good at this moment and you're bad at the next.
What's your view of the Statue of Liberty? Is it the face of Satan with the seven spies on here, or is it a woman or a man?
It's all the same though. I told you, it's just one or the other. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ, so it's that of Satan. Whether it be presented as a man or a woman or anything else, it's all the many faces of Satan. It's the cracked mirror. Remember, I told you Satan is represented by the kaleidoscope or the Easter egg color. So then it's going to be many faces. So it's all the same thing to me. It's most definitely, though, an idol of capital or of currency. Yeah. Because what is the lure? What's the lure? If the Statue of Liberty was holding out a fishing lure, what's the lure to come?
Yeah,
loot. Mammon.
Yep.
All right. So then
that was the promise. Yeah. Come here, all you. We'll take you all. You know.
So you're getting. What are you getting if you get those that seek that? You're getting mammon worshippers.
Yeah.
So what type of society is going to be built around that? But one
New
that
York
is,
City.
Right. So then one that is constantly on the move and constantly not satisfied with what they have at the moment. So they're going to be looking for even more currency.
Fantastic. And currency, of course, goes back to the electricity and the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any movies you like that kind of represent that idea? Like I know you have the one movie that's, there was a sci-fi night. I think it was a South African movie.
The Night Gate. Oh no, that was it was very. I actually like that. So no, but nine. Look, we got Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Right,
and actually, interesting. You'd be tying Depp again because Depp features in so many different of these movies. But Plan 9 of Outer Space was directed by that crazy director from the 60s or late 50s, 60s. It was, they call him the worst director in the world. But Depp played him in a movie about making of Plan 9 from Outer Space later on in life. I can't remember. It wasn't John Waters. It was another crazy American director. But There's not the ninth gate. The one you were just talking about.
Then, you're talking Ed Wood. He was in the. Ed Wood. Ed Wood is the one, the actual director, and then Depp played Wood.
Ed Wood in the movie. Yeah, okay. Ed Wood.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of a tie in there.
Mm. I'm not. Yeah. So I did not see the Johnny Depp.
Not bad. Look, he can act. Mm. I just don't. I wouldn't want him as a relative of mine. I don't think he's a. He just has something about the guy. But so you're talking about the ninth. Something nine.
I can just go ahead and
Peter Jackson produced or financed it. But it was definitely about the Region 9. Was it Region 9 or something or other about robots?
It's just called 9, an animated deal. Well, there was maybe. 9, which was an animated film.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many. But I think of...
there was one from South. Maybe that was the one from South. But this 9 dealt with Tim Burton. Tim Burton had something to deal with that. Now remember, Nightmare Before Christmas type of clown, which is too creepy, man.
Yeah, have you seen the biggest movies, but it's doing huge business, and it's the remake of Beetlejuice.
No, I'm not a Beetlejuice dude. I didn't even see it when it came out. My sister went to the deal. Mm. Was that the one where people?
Well, you're queuing in Hades. It's very similar to what we just talked about then. That you know, when you cast across the River Styx, there's something of a sandbox. I haven't seen the movie since 1980 or whenever it came out, so I can't talk about it. But I do know there's a brand new one starring the exact same star, Michael Keaton, and the actress that was in the first one in this one, but. As far as movies go, though, with 9 and it, there's so many out there.
I was also going to say about John 9 John 9, just so you know, with John 9, just so you get the idea of what's happening. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So this is the idea of letting someone see or offering them the gift of sight, meaning offering them the truth. Or the idea of what is truth, or the yesod within the so-called Kabbalah, or what's called a foundation, right? So because the foundation is then rested upon your inputs and your outputs, your IO, and that is, of course, the kingdom. So what kingdom then do you represent, but what is your output from your input? That is that direct correlation between the 9 and the 1, because that's our next step where we're looking to finish this. You're looking to either pick it up 911, because what happens? 11 equals 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 911, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You see how it just goes around and around. So now you're in the loop. Whatever that idea is, you're off to the races. And the more details you consume, the faster you get, the less or the harder it is for someone to pull you out of it, because you're off to the races. Now then, because remember I told you that was the overlay of the 6 and 9 in motion, and how it starts to come together. It looks like an 8, then it starts to look like a flower the faster it gets. Also remember the 1 9 in then that mirror is the idea of the metonic cycle, or what's known as the metonic cycle. The idea of the reset, or generational body reset. So that's the idea of the 1 and the 9. Remember, the one is the idea, the light standing before.
And put it next to the 9.
Before the idol. So are you going to reflect that idol, that idea? Are you going to become overlaid with it? Are you going to become biblically known with it, if you know what I mean? Are you going to become one with it, or are you going to let it go? That's the choice. And what it is all of these different news stories, hoaxes that anyone will grab onto and claim as their own. they will witness to you that that's, that they did it. They were there. And I will say, you should not do that, because if you witness death to me, if I'm in the room, I am your second witness. I will not lie to God. I will tell God that, yes, that man or that woman said it.
Speaking of, you know, the biggest, one of the biggest, if you put the word nine into any search engine, 911, 911 is going to come up. And how many people have you heard that have said, I know someone that was in those buildings? And they got a phone call not to go to work the next day, or they got killed, or my cousin's sister's boyfriend's.
Well, I don't know anybody actually. I know nobody who's ever actually said that.
You'd probably scream at them if you did.
9/11, however, also, what is a word that you would associate when you hear 9/911? Concern? Would concern be a word you associate with it? Yeah. So 9, 10, 11. Equaling two. So you see there it is connected, because the idea is provable by the tone and sound of words. By speaking it.
Yeah. So 1966, we were talking about 66 before, though, for there's a lot that I think they changed the emergency number in New York or America to 911 from whatever it was before that. It was, I think, 66 that was done. So that when you hear the word 911 or 911, you think of emergency. I have to ring 911, emergency. It creates chaos just hearing those three.
Now, speaking of chaos, you know, the chaos or the eight pointed star, it's also, if you take a plus sign, just draw a plus sign on a piece of paper, plus, and then draw an X right through that. You now have eight slices. Each one of those slices is 45 degrees. All right. So that's
number
the eight.
Nine,
that's
nine,
the eight. That's
nine.
The eight. Yeah, that's the eight into nine. And then that's also, if you think of the idea of the chessboard. Remember I told you that Roman Castevet was played by Sidney Blackmar?
Yep.
Now, Blackmar is a chess move. It's called a gambit, where the idea of the white.
So, Dave, do you play chess? I'm just asking you.
I do from time to time. So then, white moves, and it's called a Blackmar gambit, to where your target is to take out a pawn and a knight. All right. The reason that you want to take out the knight is that the knight moves. If you can move a knight to the center of the board, it can move in what looks like, if you looked at it from above, it looks like a swastika. All right. Because it's 2-1 over to the left, 2-1 over to the right. Therefore, if you plot that out in your head, you can see it going left and right. Notice that if you put that onto to a balance and just rocked it back and forth, you start to see the wheel within the wheel within the wheel idea spoken about in Ezekiel. That's a combination, just so you know that. So then if you take the Seal of Solomon, which is spoken about in the Grand Grimoire, which we talked about earlier, and you lay that over the so-called Satanic Seal, which is the pentagram idea with some other ideas. If you rotate those, then you're going to then create sigils. Those sigils then are going to then invoke so-called or certain powers by creating electrical circuits in the ether or in the air.
Interesting stuff, dude. Interesting stuff. Yeah, no, it's because I'm big on the whole sigil thing. Interesting that so the nine-pointed triangle is called the nonagon.
Right.
The nonagon. So it's three triangles. Three triangles.
Yeah, well, and notice that now just in your head, like, represent that as three pieces, but rocking back and forth. Do you see the motion now?
Yep.
Do you see the motion? Now, when you see that motion, you're going to be able to start to see geometry form between those lines. Those geometries are creating the circuits. That I talk about. All right. That's what's happening.
We are electric. And the conversation over the last eight episodes, if anyone can summarize anything up, is that everything goes back to electricity.
Yeah.
And,
the universe is a wet cell electromagnetic envelopment. It's the shape of the human eye. So if you want to see what the universe looks like, go look in the mirror. So you were given, most people were given, two of them. Even one, right? Even one will help. Just go look in the mirror if you want to see a model of the universe. You exist on the colored part, or the iris, along with the water and the land and the animals.
Do you think that the IRS, the tax department in America, was named for Iris? To tell you another inversion. Oh,
yeah, that's just the idea of the worship of the female spirit. You'll also notice with a lot of, I like books as well, the Hercule Poirot, I can't say it very well, but the Christie detective, a lot of his stories.
Hercule Poirot.
Yeah, a lot of his stories. A lot of his stories deal with the occult nature. At the time, they were pushing
and
a lot
trains,
of Egyptology.
Trains are featured very heavily. And you'll be able to explain that one. It's very, very much. Agatha Christie's Christie. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of Price in there.
It is in there, yeah. Well, and Poirot had an actual case called the Yellow Iris. All right. Wow. Yeah, and the yellow. What happens if your eye turns yellow? Right. So then you're talking about that you're not filtering or you're holding yep. waste, right?
Yep.
And you look like issues. You're like, what's up, piss eye? What you up to, piss eye? And they're like, hey, no, don't be mean to me. I got a liver issue. Well, I'll clean it up, sport. Get them eyes wide. Quit your whining. Right.
Excellent.
So so you see how each thing then moves into the next. Remember in the Rosemary's Baby, the Tanis root was interjected. Yes. I sent you those pictures before because they redid the and they called it Apartment 7.
Discuss this because that's quite interesting. I was interested in that.
So what happened was they're putting out a new show or a movie which is called Apartment 7A, which is a prequel to Rosemary's Baby. It happens within all the same characters are all in the same city at the same time. You're talking about characters weeks apart in coming into the building, but you're also talking about characters that actually meet in Rosemary's Baby, particularly in the first instance, in the laundromat where they show or where they exchange, witness of this, necklace, which has this Tanis root in it. Now, Tanis root, while it's a made-up idea, it's meant to be mind control, because you'll remember when Rosemary, she goes up, she first tries to get rid of it, and she finally says, oh, I just got used to it, because somebody else brings it up. Her friend comes over, which hadn't been around in a while, comes over and says, what's that smell? And she goes, oh, this, and because it reeks. All right. So then so she goes, oh, I must have gotten used to it. So that's just showing you the idea that you can get used to an abuse. Right.
Yeah.
And you just swallow it after a while. So then that's an interesting. So then what I found, and this, Rick, is how a Mandela effect can be born.
Do tell.
Okay. Now, if you go to the original movie, Rosemary's Baby, when they're shown the apartment, it says 7 epsilon. It has an epsilon, so a backwards 3.
Yeah.
It doesn't say 7A, because the apartment 7A, the movie today, is representing 7A, which is supposed to be the Woodhouse's apartment. 7A. Because Garofalo, the character who's in this movie, she is in room 7G, 7-7. Get it? 7-7. All right. So then I noticed that change. I was thinking now, if people now listening to this show, it's based on, they'll say, oh, it's based on Rosemary's Baby. In several years, you're going to have people saying, oh, I remember that it used to say 7A on that door. But now when I watch the movie, there's a 7, and why would there be an epsilon there when there was an A there before, when there was never an A there before?
It's just planted in front of you, and then they back it. Yeah.
Well, the reason that I caught that was when I saw the movie a few times, because I had to watch it at one point because I was in a film appreciation class in California, in Southern California. They do things differently in school. So I took a lot of film classes. And this was one of the movies that I studied. And when I say study, when I watch a film, I know what the character looks like as soon as I see him. So I don't look at the characters talking when the scenes happen. I'm looking in the back of the scene. I'm looking at the number.
What's in the background?
I'm looking at what number on the door. When they walk up to the door, I'm looking at the nameplate when they walk into an office.
And the books all of on the bookshelf. Stuff. The books on the bookshelf say an awful lot of interesting things as well.
Yep, absolutely.
So you've got a good eye for detail, Dave.
Yeah.
Good eye for detail.
Yeah, well, that's and in fact, that's what all this stuff is put out for. So people say, okay, by what mind? I say by the fallen mind, because these are all
devils
just
in the details.
These are all just Ruth characters, which are willfully serving their master. But this also goes into the Judith idea about the idea of chopping off a head, meaning that they're chopping off their own head in spite of themselves. So what is
this
prophet?
Old Testament. This is Old Testament again, Judith.
Well, and it's also I'm speaking spiritually speaking, because they're doing this dying daily to a world for a reward which is fleeting.
Yeah,
the fleeting that they get, the reward they get is fleeting. It's literally gone the moment that they've used it.
Yeah,
you know, let's say that they're acting. They're interacting, or they're performing a function of whatever it is. As soon as that act is done, the next moment ticks over, they're already then back into the loop of consuming or wanting. So they immediately go back into wanting because that didn't fulfill them. So then they do, then that's the idea of the next demon becoming worse and worse and worse, because the idea of satisfaction requires that the action be worse or worse or worse.
Fantastic. Right? Yeah. Fantastic time. Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Do you want to move on to the, because I mean, I think you've absolutely nailed Rosemary's Baby and a number of other things.
Oh, but sure.
Talk about the shrooms. And what do you think about shrooms and are they positive, negative? Do they have, in which are there particular something you'd recommend if you're going to try a shroom? Mushroom, that is.
Yes, they are positive, of course. The only negative would be the one who consumes it. So then the positive is taken to the positive mind who has a direction in mind, meaning that I just tell my Lord that I'd like to be taken here. I'd like to be shown this. I'd like to be shown. In fact, I'd like to be shown the idea. And this was what I asked specifically on the last trip I took. I said, I'd like to be shown the idea of stumbling blocks.
Well,
it's very simple. It's a simple idea. It's a simple request. So then I took some, what was called Amazonians. They look like penis envy. They have that very similar look. And they were, I grew them myself, which I've only taken what I've grown myself. And I grew them to before the shroud opened. So all so everything was maintained.
From spore to consumption.
Okay. Well, you need to colonize. That takes about a month. And then once the colonization happens, you flip it over into your humid environment. You're looking at within really that first week, you're going to start seeing some production. Once it starts to produce, you're going to be harvesting, up to two times a day, really.
Well,
and then you'll because you'll want to pick. I like to pick him before the shroud opens. Is that
now,
keeps
the shroud
everything?
The shroud is the top of the
it's underneath the top.
Underneath
yeah,
the top.
It, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. The veil. I should say the veil of the shroud. So you have the shroud. Yeah, so you have the shroud, and what happens is you've seen a mushroom open. As soon as it opens, it's gonna rip the veil underneath, and the spores that are up inside that are gonna drop and allow for more. What happens is if you allow it to grow, and it's gonna start to the head is gonna start to fatten up. And this can happen very quick. It's going to start to get fat. What you need to do is you need to pick it before the veil breaks. And then you pick it and you set it onto parchment paper and you put a fan, just a regular air fan, and let it run over it 24/7. Don't stop. Let it air, dry. So you don't need to put it under heat. You want it dehumidified, but you don't need to apply heat. You can just do regular air, room temperature on parchment paper. And then those will, not only will they hold the shape, they of course will reduce in size, but they will maintain the shape. They will maintain the color and they will not look bruised. Because what happens is sometimes people will stuff them in bags or they put them into jars and they'll start to get blue or purple on the stem because you can bruise them. When you pick them, you have to be very gentle. You know, I think of the way I once went into a coffee joint and I said, "What's that sign mean?" And they said, "Oh, that means that it's guaranteed no child labor." And I said, "I like the children to pick my coffee beans because their little fingers don't bruise them." And they looked at me like, so then that's the idea. So you gently pick them. You just, all you really need to do is they grow in form. So you just follow their form with your finger and just give it a slight twist and it's going to pull right out of the medium. It's going to break right off the medium. And then you just lay that on the parchment, let it dry. Boom. You consume them. The biggest, let me tell you then what happened, of course, blah, blah, blah. I take my last, this is the last dose. I take, I did seven grams because I'm always talking about seven. It's the idea of mind. I'm going to do seven grams. A hero's dose is supposedly 3.5 or an eighth, 3.5 grams. So I did seven. So I went there and, two things. And what happened was I was presented with a white space, just like if you saw in Matrix, white space. But it was different, in fact, to where I knew that there was nothing there. It was just simply white. And I was standing in space, white, all white. And then two rows showed up on my left and my right. And they were all very tall idols. And they were all stone.
When you say idols, were they square shaped, round shaped?
No, they were all statues. They looked like different statues of different entities.
People,
and they were all idols standing there. But they were all of stone, and they were not moving. But they were all very tall. And then I was walking down the middle of them, and then I looked at their ankle area. I looked to my left and to my right, and I saw the little demon, the power behind the idol, was hiding behind its own boots. It was in fear of me. And then I said, as soon as I saw that, I knew that those idols, and these idols were ideas in my head, had no power over me, and they fell away. They sunk into the ground. As they sunk, I grew.
Well,
and then I became as they became like grasshoppers to me, and I walked forward and they were not even a concern to me anymore. They were left apart. Then I was brought out. That was that it. It's like point made. That's the point. Yeah. That's where you wanted to go. You saw what you wanted to see, because then my cat was jumping around and I said, "Oh." And I went over to touch my cat, and it was from several inches away. I would. I'm going to now.
Oh, yes. You've told me the story. Very interesting. Yeah. Retail.
Yeah. Several inches away. Yeah. The static was not a shock static, but it was a connection. And wherever I moved my hand, her fur would climb. Right.
Wow.
And then she started to turn and jump, and she was loving it. And what I started to see was a power flow between us.
Mm.
A power flow.
Cats love humans, and we love cats.
Yeah. And so between my fingers and my cat, I could see the power flow. And where I moved my hand, she would like jump as if I had a laser or something in my hand. Do you kind of get the idea of her activity? Yeah. But she was super happy, super excited. And then the next thing that experience happened. So I had the main experience, that experience, and then and that happened, and then I just woke up. It was the next day. What's nice about them is you just wake up and you can go. And so I went exactly where I wanted to go. And let me tell you the detail. The detail was so detailed, Rick. If I could, I mean, you were there.
Yeah.
You were there. You could touch it. You could smell it. You could see them. You could see the eyes. You could see their what would be pupils, or what looks like pupils dilating when you look at them. You could see them. Everything is very clear. And then when the destruction happened, it was silent. It wasn't this big racket and carrying on. It was just move out of the way. Don't disturb you anymore. You know, sorry for getting in your way, sir. That's it's like if somebody.
So basically, mushrooms are enabling you to dream lucidly. Mm. And get messages from without going to sleep. You're still wide awake, and you're getting these incredible.
Well, there was two different experiences, though. Yes, and no on that. Okay. Yes, and yes, but yes and no as far as what I was talking about. Some are, in fact, when you're sleeping, because you do fall asleep. And you have these visions and dreams.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you are sitting or what would be in a daydream state. And yes. Yeah. And that, so then the cat experience happened fully aware and fully awake.
Yeah. Fully aware, fully awake.
The stumbling block or the idol demonstration happened in a dream world, in a dream state.
Hmm.
Different,
fantastic.
Same trip, different condition.
Yeah.
All right. Different condition. Yeah. Let me bring you into the physical world and show you this. Let me now bring you into the dream world and show you this. Let me take you past the mirror and show you this. All right.
It just occurred to me a great song. At the end of the show, that came into my head. The Kenny Rogers in the First Edition. Just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in, because that's really good for the story you just told me about.
Yeah.
Mm.
Let me tell you about the gate that most will run into, and this is where most get stuck, is that, and this is a universal idea. This is something that not just I see or this is what many people see. You're going to come up to what looks like a kaleidoscope or a curtain or a veil.
Yeah.
Now, what happens is you got to walk past that. You simply have to say, tell it, it doesn't exist, and walk past it. Most will get fooled or scared because that mirror does have the ability to render back to you your fears. You have to walk past it. Now, this is very important to know.
Get behind me.
Exactly. And it's going to be there because if you determine that you are going to follow Christ out, he's going to take you out and you're going to be shown this and you will be told what to say. You don't have to worry about. You're going to be told what to say, and you're going to be shown how to use your power, because you can use your power not only in this physical place, but you can also use it there. So when I go there, I can use it there. All right? So when I say, tell somebody I'm going to meet them in their dreams, it's because I'm going to be there.
Yes.
I have a reason to be there. And they're going to say, and then once they witness that one time, that's all they need.
Yep.
Right. So then so I wanted to say then, dropping back at the, so you have the, now let's kind of drop, you have the idol, the nine, and now let's just drop it straight down, just like a controlled, perfectly controlled destruction of a fallen idea. So you have the nine, the idol. You have you have the eights, which you consumed, you tested, you found not to be true. They then collapse. The seven, the mind, is freed. The present, six, is let go. The present is dropped. It's let go. The five, the senses are restored to present time. Do you see how the present changes? The present can't just go away. It's got to always be there, because you're always thinking, you're always moving, you're always doing something. So the six is then replaced with hopefully something true, not just another BS waste of time. However, let's keep going. The senses, the four, the door is then reclosed. The ring is unrung. The concern, too, is lost, and the one light is extinguished. Done.
Fantastic.
All right? So now what do you do with that? You leave it alone. It has no power over you. You walk away from it. And then when others then present to you this idol like a gift, I want to give you... No. Keep it. Walk away. Get away from it. Because you've already tested.
As you're telling me the story, Dave, my clock on my my stove is set. It's wrong, but it's come up 11:11 as you're talking to me.
Yes.
There you go. There's a there.
Yeah. Well, that's 11:11, 22, 4, door. Yeah, to be or not to be, the idea of the choice of this door.
This couldn't just happen randomly, that it would be 11:11 as I'm speaking to you right now, and it's just changed. There you go. Yep. Fantastic. Dude, I'm telling you, these are so far eight, and there'll be a number nine show next weekend.
That's going to be the kind of the roundup. It's like next week will be we'll be basically cleaning out desks, eating, kind of stale cake in the break room.
You do have to say 10 though.
Yeah.
So I just turned 11, and just as I said that, 11:12. That's,
So 10, I just basically convert to the IO as the input. It's what we just talked about.
Well, next Sunday will be that particular episode, which is going to be absolutely fantastic, as they all are. Sorry, I'm just opening thing. I'm just doing a revelation of the food method. Absolutely fantastic. And I'm, again, really good show, Dave. Really, really interesting stuff. And it's the way to break your stuff down is by doing it in phases.
Right.
And a bit at a time. And it's going to be 10 phases for the mind, the 10 phases of the mind. And then afterwards, it can be anything. And I would say episode 11, it will be people can ask questions. Of Dave. Right.
Or for you, or for anybody.
For sure.
Hey, what about me?
Pompo, they can ask questions about you. They can ask
Pompo.
We're doing an audio music.
That's right, Pompo. We're recording another song.
We can do whatever we want, Pompo. Be told.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be told. We'll wrap it up soon.
Yeah.
I'm overly impressed, I have to say. Overly impressed. I thought it was really good. It's just that two minds talking together can just go into these different realms, and just there's little connections and, little, as we just, talking about the electric mind and the electric body, we converse, we relay another electrical term back to people that are listening. And Dave, I've heard nothing but compliments from these shows from people who've contacted me and said, you've done, these are really good, interesting. Because, as I said, if you try to listen to your stuff on one go, impossible, 1 to 9. Oh, sorry, you're 1 to 9. But break it down, slow it down, and the minds catch up. The minds catch up. So,
Because then once you realize it's quite simply 1 to 9 and it's basic and you can test it just like we have throughout, whether it be news, across movie, across books, we can talk about in the future. I'm more willing to go down novels. I know every single Sherlock Holmes story, everyone.
Guaranteed, you know,
front to back.
That's so now very interesting. You should mention him because he was a guy who was very much into this ethereal, back in the day in the 1800s, Arthur Conan Doyle. Mm-hmm. And, these aren't just books. They're not just your little, it's just like we were talking before about, the train and, Agatha Christie's Poirot. There's deeper meaning to all the stuff. And there's not a lot of people that actually brought this stuff up ever. I hear a lot of movie analysis. And experts, you know, so-called experts sort of zone. But where we're going here is a lot deeper than most of the other people out there. I have to say that, Dave. I'm blowing smoke up our own rectums here, but this is a much better way of getting information from two of the more controversial, certainly one of the most controversial people ever on the internet, you. me being one of, I'm there. But
I'll tell you, what did you do? What did you do, Rick, to be so controversial?
I just insult. No, I tell people the truth. I think that, you know, not everyone, but every now and then I have a run. You have run-ins with everybody. I have run-ins with selective people that I think you are just wasting my time. And I'm not you tell most people that. Most people get the
Well, most people are wasting my time. I don't want, it's like, I don't, because I choose not to lie to anyone. Sorry, it makes it easy. Before we leave, though, the Sherlock, I do want to add a little conspiracy or into the mix. The Last Bow, the book that was written in 1917, supposedly, The Last Bow, that was not written by the same guy. The stories have a completely different vibe. They have a completely different vibe. It's not even that's kind of some stuff we'll go into. So there is even some early proofs of company, meaning that there's a name, but the writer is not necessarily that same individual. Because when an individual writes,
Stephen King, I do not believe he's a single sole writer of those books. I think he's got a team of people, and he's the manager that comes in and says, you know, this suits me. I don't believe he's the same.
Well, Tom Clancy does the same thing. A lot of them do it right in the open, though. Yep. A lot of them do it right in the open. There's a name. It's just a brand.
Yeah.
So this I would say that this was the earliest brand. The Last Bow was and I do have a first edition in the Philippines of The Last Bow. And it,
can you spell that for me?
Yes. His, so H-I-S.
Yes.
Last, L-A-S-T, Bow.
B-O-W or B-O-U-G-H?
B-O-W.
Okay, cool.
Some Reminiscences of Sherlock Holmes is like the extended title. So, it doesn't have the same tone.
It could be a contractual agreement that he was spent to write 11 novels and he only wrote 10. So they bring in ghost writers. And funny, they call them ghost writers.
Correct. Yeah. Like I was saying before, you can, when, if you wrote something to me, I can tell if you wrote it or someone else.
Someone else wrote it.
Because there's a tone and a tune to your writing. Ooh. If I know you. So if I spent time with a so-called author and they wrote several books and then all of a sudden someone else wrote a book, it's very easy to tell.
Yeah.
It's like somebody trying to pretend they're your sister. You know, it's like, yeah. I know who you are. There's no question. I'm not scratching my head. I know who you are, you know? Mm. So that there's that difference. So, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and step out of the way, and you can go ahead and lead us out.
Well, look, I'm going to say it again. Dave, Joe, you've really done a really fantastic show, as per usual, and they've been really interesting, and I'm getting lots and lots of feedback. And I don't take a lot of I'm not a public person. I'm not a person that's been around for as long as Dave, but I get plenty of people saying that's really enjoying the show. And the people who are saying it, I like the people I like. So 10 out of 10. The Frank the Salt Guy, 12 out of 10, Dave. We'll end the show now on this wonderful Sunday. I'll give the date out there for the people in the future. Dave's probably entering, or he will be entering.
I'm on the 29th already.
29th, yeah. So me, yeah, same as me. Wasn't it? What a coincidence. Anyway, and I think we'll end it on with Kenny Rogers just dropped in to see what condition my condition is. It's because it's one of those cool songs, and it was in a couple of great movies, and we'll work out a title. I'll send it on to Joel, and thank you, Joel, again out there, Joel. I know he enjoys the fact that this show is really getting marketed big time for his truthmeats.com. So we're doing a good job, Dave. I really appreciate your input, output. So if you want to send the bot out, and we'll go out with Kenny Rogers, just dropped in. So 12 out of 10. Great show. Next week, the episode 9 on the number, on 10 and other things, guaranteed to be told, plus some more movies, and there'll be more interesting ones than we've discussed before. 10 is also X if in Roman numerals.
Yes, indeed.
It's 101. There's a lot of stuff, so next week will be just as interesting as this one, I'd be told.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole, and then I followed it in. I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I saw so much I broke my mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. Downtown. condition my condition was in. I said I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.